Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
All right. Best 5 minute break. So today we celebrate resurrection, which is a perfect time to tell you about when I was a kid. I loved Superman. When I first met Nikki, now my wife, we were in the back of a church bus, in the back seat because we were cool. And we were on, this is going to totally disqualify my coolness, so I'll start over. We were in the back seat because we're cool, and we were on a mime trip for church, right? Exactly. Literally, you heard me. We were on a traveling mime Christian ministry team that went to other churches to silently act out deep wisdom. That's what And in the back, I really, really was fond of this gal named Nikki. And she asked me what I was reading, and I told her, I'm reading The Death and Life of Superman, which is always a great way to start when you want to get a girl to talk back to you. And Nikki was interested. I think she was lost in my eyes, personally. And I told her the entire story of Superman, and that started off a relationship, a friendship between us. And Superman was great because when you're a kid, all you want to do is like adult stuff, right? But you can't just go from like being like 10 to like 30 and you're like, I want to drive a car and I want to have money. And it, like superheroes have like this otherworldly experience that makes them better than who they really are. Like some spider bites them, some nuclear waste they accidentally consume, or you're born on the planet Krypton, right? And it makes them human, but so much better. And I thought, man, if I could do superhuman things, maybe I wouldn't have to drink powdered milk as a kid. Maybe I could get regular milk, right? And I wanted to like have all these like really big experiences, but it felt like I needed something other than myself. And at a young age, I had this experience with religion or God or the Bible. And it, as a kid, it was really warm. It was really special. It was really safe. It was really bright. And I really wanted to, like, love God. And all I really wanted was God to love me. And it was great until I became a teenager. And then I met this, in this youth group, and met some other people that were like-minded. And we had some adults that really wanted to help us be these amazing, like, Jesus-looking people, and I really do believe they had the best intent. I really do. And what I learned was that God really, really loved me until I did something, and then God really didn't love me, that God was really angry at me. And I don't think their intent was this, but you know what? Things are better caught than taught. And they would say, God really loves you, and then they would highlight all the sins. Funny, were all the things that teenagers just naturally want to do. Happened to bring those up. And they would talk about how God hates sin and sin separates us from God. So what I heard is when I thought those things or I wanted to do those things or heaven forbid, I actually did those things, then I felt horrible. I felt separated from God. I felt disconnected from God. And God hated sin. So the only way that I felt like I could get back into right relationship with God was I had to feel like at least a portion of what God felt about me. And I had to grovel, and I'd cry myself to sleep. And I would be like, oh God, please, please, please forgive me. And I would even sing like, who sings the song? I can't even think, it's like a Michael Bolton song. Like it was like these love songs they'd sing because they're heartbroken. I'd pray them to God because it felt like the words matched what I needed to be, which was totally depraved and wretched. And at some point, I'd feel like God would match me, that God would grant me, like God would be like some toxic parent. This is fine. I'll allow it. And in that moment, I would go back to elation. And so I'd be on this like this pendulum that swing from like I am deeply, deeply loved. And then it'd swing over is that I am a disgrace. And what these people taught me is, you know what, Chris, you know what you really need? You need Jesus. And if you can have Jesus, and Jesus lived a perfect life, died, and resurrected in that beautiful resurrection of stepping out of the tomb, Jesus conquered death and sin. So he has everything you need to conquer the sin. So all you have to do is you need less of you and more of Jesus. So I'm like, all right, I can do that. And like, and also,
You need to be a part of a small group. Awesome. I can do that. And like, and actually, you need to be part of a smaller group in that small group. And these people are who you're going to pray with and you're going to connect. I'm like, I can do that. And then actually, you need to read your Bible. And you need to pray. And then you need to do your devotions. And actually, you need to come up to the front and we're going to pray for you, lay hands on you. And it was really, really, there's pockets in that were rich and beautiful. And I made some amazing friends along that way, right? But there was still this feeling of, I need something other than myself to be loved. And the answer was Jesus. And because of resurrection, now God doesn't see me. Maybe he sees Jesus, and I'm lucky, and I should be thankful. And is that what, like, Easter is about? That Jesus died and conquered death and sin so that if you say the right words at the right time, you get to go to some place in the future if you do the right things? And you know what? There's a lot of people to find meaning in that. You could change the words, and people find some hope in that. But for me, it just wasn't enough. Because if resurrecting was just like a party trick, if it was just a statement for some future reality and not here, then what in the world was Jesus talking about? Because for me, resurrection, the reason it's so beautiful is that it's an exclamation point to everything that Jesus embodied and extended over and over and over, that love always wins. And think about this, John 20. John is my favorite gospel because John is, he's somewhere else, right? He's all over the place. But he uses light and darkness and time of day to tell like these wider realities. And it says in John chapter 20, it talks about the resurrection. It says, oh, I should probably read it, right? It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Other translations say on the first day of a new week, of a new morning. John goes out of his way to say, like, there's all these new things that are happening. And in fact, in the whole book of John, he highlights seven miracles. And seven was like this idea of something being complete, like it has run its course. And anything that happens beyond that is like a new way, a new thing, a new order, a new beginning. So John is on this day of a new sun, of a new morning, of a new day. And there's this potential, I'm going to give it away, there's this new miracle. Right? Something starting, something new. And what happens on this new day of this new sun, this newness is in the air, Mary, this friend of Jesus, is going to go to the tomb because that's what friends do. Friends take care of one another, even after death, and she's going to take care of the body and go through the rituals because that's what love does. And she shows up, and the tomb is empty. There's these angels that are talking to her, and she runs and gets some of Jesus' friends, and they come, and they're like, hey, Mary, we believe you. Right? There's nothing in here. And they run back because they're afraid of their life because of what empire does to when you push back against power. And Mary watches her friends run away. She's standing there again. And she looks behind her. And there is this dude standing in a garden. And imagine she's like, why do men always have to be around me? Right? I don't need just this guy looking at me. And she turns around, it's just a dude in a garden, which she calls a gardener, and she doesn't know that it's Jesus. And in the Gospel of John, the first recorded thing we see resurrected Jesus do is the same thing Jesus has been doing his whole life. He reminds Mary who she's always been. He affirms her right where she's at, and all he does is just say her name. He says, Mary. And Mary now can see that it's not just some dude in a garden, that it's Jesus, it's her friend, it's this rabbi that she followed that inspired her, and she begins to worship. And there's this powerful lesson in this idea of resurrection is that Jesus is reminding people who they've always been. Think about it. Jesus at the woman at the well, this famous story that people have used to shame women. Imagine that. And Jesus is standing there, and she says, like, you don't want to be with people like me. And Jesus essentially reminds her that you've always been sacred. You've always been beautiful. Why are you letting all these other people define who you are? And he says, there is this water, and if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again, which can be this way of thinking about salvation, absolutely, but saved from what? It's almost like he's also saying, like, there is this water, and if you keep going to community, you keep going to the beautiful people, you keep going to whoever holds the power and let them define who you are, it's never going to be enough. Everything you need is already within.
Jesus does these miracles, and like for the like, let's say someone was blind, does Jesus heal them so they can see? Yeah, absolutely. But I think Jesus is also reminding everyone of saying, why is it you can't believe this person until they look like you? Why is it you can't include this person until they can move like you, act like you? Why were they forgettable? Why were they just pushed aside because they could not function in the way our culture celebrates what is good? And Jesus heals that person, I think, much more to remind us of saying, this isn't who we want. What do we want? We want to include. We want to belong. Jesus goes to the kids who are just forgotten, pushed aside, and gets low and includes them. Jesus goes around reminding people again and again of who you really are. It's not some superhuman thing. It's not this otherworldly thing that we need. Jesus reminds us everything we have and everything we need is already within. This good and beautiful God is not otherworldly. God loved us by becoming us. So we don't need some supernatural event for us in order to be loved. We need to awaken that we've always been included. You know what? Jesus, I love talking about this. Jesus is a part of the sacred wisdom. Like, do you know someone who's wise? Like, Diana, who would you say is the wisest person that you've met? Jake, your husband. Okay, second wisest person. Who would be someone in your life, in your tradition, that's like a mentor that you go to for wisdom? John Ray. He's from Texas. Okay, so Jonathan Ray. John, my bad. Sorry, John. Right, I don't want to be on bad vibes with John Ray. That's a great name, John Ray. In his wisdom, his wisdom, is it things that you have never, ever once thought of that is makes it so wise? Or is it that he is speaking something that has been around for a while? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to repeat the best I can because we're on camera, all right? Diana said that her friend John Ray, the wisdom comes out because he can see things in Diana that she can't see in herself, and they ring true that maybe they've always been true, you just couldn't see or hear that truth. Accurate? Yeah. To me, that's what wisdom is. It's not this, like, I've never once thought about that maybe we should love one another. Like, for me, I loop back into this. I'm like, Nikki, this prayer thing, I think it works. I don't understand how it's like, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a pastor. I should know that prayer might be added some value, but it still surprises me. And to me, Jesus being a part of the sacred wisdom, like in Proverbs, it says wisdom is baked into all creation. Wisdom is not some new, we never thought it was for. It's the simple things that are in us that sometimes we need someone to remind us. We need someone to like nudge us back into thinking because our ego says hoard. Ego says dominate. Ego says take. And this wisdom teacher of Jesus says, what if like the meek inherit the kingdom of God? What if like last is really like where we want to be? And what if like the way that we know we love God is the way that we love each other? It's not something brand new. Jesus came along with a whole list of other people that we find wisdom. Desmond Tutu, if you've never read wisdom, Martin Luther King, John Ray, the Buddha, right? There's people have come and have spoken about this way of stepping into this flow. And when we do, everybody wins. The whole idea of when we think violence towards other people, and Jesus says, even if you think it, it's the same as doing it, because it actively destroys us as much as the other person. This is not some new thing. So resurrection is this exclamation point. It is this demonstration that love always wins. And what Jesus does then, he goes and says he went and he teaches everything about the kingdom of God, again, to the same group of people. Is it because they just didn't get it the first time, so Jesus needed to remind them? Or is it that Jesus is saying, the wisdom that you saw and you heard is the same wisdom now. And I believe in resurrection. It is this mysterious, miraculous thing. And in my process theology mind, it doesn't always make sense. But I've just surrendered the fact it doesn't make sense. And I live in this benevolent universe that things don't make sense. The only thing that makes sense is that love always wins. Even when it doesn't feel right. It's like when Jesus said, this is pre-cross, pre-death, pre-resurrection, when he says, no greater love than this than they who lay down their life for their friends. When Jesus says, in this world you will find trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. How did Jesus overcome the world? With a fist? Or a sword? Or with love? When Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today you have enough. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all this will be added onto you. What is the kingdom of God? It's right here, right now. It's moving in the way of love. When Jesus says in Luke, one of the first things he says is, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's close. Repent and believe the good news. Repent is not groveling. Repent is stepping into that flow. A benevolent love and forgiveness and inclusion and believability. And when we step into that, all this heaven, all this kingdom of God will be added onto you, because when you move in the nature of love, there's more love around. So here's what it means for us. I have, when you see something beautiful, right? If you're like me, I cry a lot. I'm a high feeler. So I see something beautiful and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like Kira, when I watch a love movie, what do I yell? I watch any movie, she says, I start crying. And I've said this 100 times, I yell, I love love, and then my kids mock me, and I think it's great, right? I do love love, because it is in the simplest things that remind us of what matters most. Like, I have someone that means a lot to me. Man, I love her. And she had a really bad diagnosis. And she is young, and no one has told her how maybe she should respond, right? No one has told this kid, hey, when you get bad news, you probably want to hide in your bed. And I'm not saying this is not bad. I am not shaming at all. But no one's told her that. No one has told her, like, how afraid she should be. I imagine that she has her own fear. But you know what she's most concerned about? Lacrosse practice. Do you know what she's most concerned about? Hopping on her iPad to play Roblox with her friends, right? And some game where they throw each other down the stairs and you get points for how many stairs you fall down. She wants to do goofy, silly TikTok dances. She wants to FaceTime her friends, right? She wants to go to school so she can take her math test. This is, she's embodying this resurrected life. That she's good. And her diagnosis does not rob her of that goodness. And all she wants to do is love and be loved. And that's enough. I find wisdom and hope and strength and beauty. And to me, that is what the Christ revealed by stepping out of that tomb. Is love can transform. Transforms differently than violence. Transforms radically different than ego. But it transforms. So here's my invitation. It's today. Maybe you're going to be eating ham, because nothing says, thank you, Messiah, Jesus, than eating ham, right? And cheesy potatoes, that's true. Why those two, all right? Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, you're going to be eating dinner, right? And maybe it's holding the hand of someone you love. Maybe it's giving them a hug. Maybe it's sending that text message. Maybe it's making that phone call. Maybe it's like saying out loud to yourself, I'm finally going to make that appointment. Maybe it's writing that letter. Maybe it's finishing that song. Maybe it's that dedication. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and give my best, whatever it might be. But today, center love, and not in the Superman superhero kind of way that we think that is the only way we can really, really love, is we do some grandiose. It can be simple as today, worrying about what's right in front of you and giving love. So, you are good. You are beautiful. And resurrected life is right here. And when you move in love, the world and yourself is a better place. Let's pray. So God, thank you that you loved us by becoming us. And not in some angry, toxic father at the top of the stairs who has to come down because you made too much noise. That you became us to know us and to reveal to us what it means to be fully human. And so for my friends today who might be feeling some feels, might feel stuck, who feel trapped by all the things that the beautiful people around them have defined what is good, and somehow they are convinced that they are not part of that good. So I ask God that we would be able to not only receive, but believe that the kingdom of God is not somewhere else, it's right here. And in this moment today, we step into that flow. And God, will you let it take us to all the beautiful places of love and liberation and inclusion and flourishing. So thank you for demonstrating, embodying, and extending what love is, that it's us with you. Amen. So thank you for being a part of this sacred space. If you'd like to talk, you'd like to pray, you'd like to tell some jokes, whatever it might be, I'm going to be hanging around. Feel free to stay as late as you want. There's some more donuts and coffee. Happy Easter, friends. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.